Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Judy Sampson Brandt, speaker of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Lead Bad Relationships. Young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole and those women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. It's so funny because I didn't hear the music for a while, and then it was on, and I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, there was no music. And then all of a sudden the music starts playing, and I'm like,
Music was on my end. I was like, uh-oh.
I'm like, okay, all righty. But what can I tell you? So we were discussing how tomorrow's going to be like some kind of crazy, like, stormy weather here tomorrow. We were, like, that's crazy.
I can't even. Know? I have not ridden my motorcycle. I am very upset. I was looking forward to being on my damn bike this weekend, and it's not happening.
Wow. And okay. So now that's so sad. And have you thought about buying your wife a kayak? Because I've been putting it out there for you.
No, I have not. She's not getting a kayak.
Just saying. So,
listen,
you know.
She has taken over 90% of my house, and apparently I just found out that this is a thing. Like, it's the same thing like with her and her sisters. They just take over. We were supposed to share the second room, and now it is all Lisa's room. I've got like a couple of things in there, and then my things need to go away when I'm done with them, but her stuff gets to stay out. She has the bigger side of the closet. She has two dressers to my one. She's not getting a kayak. No.
So now you know who the wife really is. She's really the wife, okay? I'm just telling you. She's the wife. Yeah. So, I know.
Absolutely not.
No, okay. All righty, then. She'll just have to come over here then and stay with us, okay?
And actually, you know what? She has already been hitting me up and saying, listen, if you don't reach out to Cindy to make plans, I'm just going to do it myself. They're your friends first. So she says, I'm just trying to give you the courtesy of making the first move. So yeah, we're going to have to put something on the calendar, Cindy, because my wife won't have
right.
anything else.
Right, and of course, you know, we're really great at social distancing here. You have no worries with us, okay?
Well,
that's exactly what I said, too.
Like, you know, you guys know the deal.
Like, no, we social distance. We're really good. We make sure that you don't have to have a mask on every second because we don't get near you. Okay. So, you know, we're really good about that. Like, we've been really, you know, very, diligent about that. And so, you know, I'm hoping that you'll, you know, come through with that, you know, and really realize that you should come, you know, you should come see us. You know, it would be wonderful. So,
well,
you know,
like I always told you, she would love nothing more.
Aw. Well, and how is she, by the way? Because people are always asking me how your wife is.
She's good. She's, you know, I mean, it's everybody, I think, is in the same boat, you know, from like the work stress, you know, that type of thing. She still doesn't know whether or not her industry is going to be back or in what capacity. So, you know, like that's a little bit stressful. But you know what? She's maximizing her time at home. You know, she's doing all the things that she couldn't do when she was, you know, busy running from location to location, you know, doing her job. So, you know, she's spending a little extra time at the beach, you know, so that I can get my work done, because otherwise, you know, she's kind of like a toddler. She gets into things and then I have to stop working and I have to go and get her out of things. So, you know, but no, in all seriousness, you know, she's been good and she's been maximizing her time and, you know, and making the most of this quarantine. And, you know, it's giving us a lot of time together, because there was a long time there that between both of our work schedules, we really weren't spending a whole lot of quality time together you know, during the week, we were only really seeing each other, you know, for quality on the weekends, you know. And now we actually spend, you know, now we have our nice mornings together and we have breakfast every morning together, which is nice. And we'll have coffee on the balcony, which is nice. And then, you know, I break away and I do my work and she just does her own thing. And then we reconvene in the afternoon and then we reconvene again at night. And it's good.
Right. No, it's again, this is a gift for God for people that, you know, you can use it to get closer in your relationship. You really can.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a wonderful time. And, you know, people have been asking me lately, is this going away anytime soon? And no, it doesn't appear to be. So
yeah.
We're going to have to just get used to this new normal and, you know, try to make the best of it as, you know, and feel at the end of it, maybe we'll all become wiser because of it, you know, and
yeah,
I don't
yeah,
want.
I hope so.
Right. And I'm sure that, you know, you guys are going to have a lot of fun. And, you know, as far as her show goes, like, who knows what they're going to be doing with theater and television and all
yeah.
that right now. You know,
I think that this whole thing is really, truly a way that everybody is going to reset and redefine what we already knew. You know, I mean, and you guys have all heard me, you know, say this before. You know, I mean, my wife is, aside from working in the entertainment industry, she's also a musician, and getting noticed and making your footprint, you know, in the music industry is extremely, extremely difficult. You know, nobody wants to give anybody else a chance, you know, because they want to just stick with what makes money. So that's why we keep getting the same sounding shit over and over and over again. Live shows here, same thing. No, everybody wants to see cover bands because they want to know the songs. You know, they want to know the lyrics of the songs. They don't want to see original artists. They don't want the original stuff anymore. And we're conditioned for that. And I think that what's happening is that this is definitely like a reset, where I think that people that would have normally not have gotten the opportunity to really shine before this are going to have their opportunity to shine. You know,
exactly.
You know, when people start doing more things at home, when people start doing things more on the, when things start to get smaller instead of so big, I think that people will really start to be able to notice those untapped talents, you know, and they'll be able to do something. I know that two of my friends, I mean, they've had very, very good careers, you know, on Broadway and on television. You know, a very good friend of mine, Kelly, was in Rent for a while, and then, you know, she went on to Orange is the New Black, and, you know, she did a lot of, like, really, really great things. You know, I know even for her, who's actually gotten her foot in the door, extremely, extremely difficult, you know, to keep that momentum going, and I don't think that people realize how hard it is, you know. So I think that this is definitely a great way to scale things down a little bit to try to get people, you know, try to get people a little bit of notoriety so people can really see the talent that is out there.
Right, and take advantage of the Zoom platforms and all the different things.
Absolutely.
And, you know, right now you can, because, you know, I noticed as a playwright, there's many more opportunities than there were before, because for Zoom things and everything else. So it's a little bit exciting. So, again, you know, do your thing, and everybody needs, you know, new original stuff now, because then you're getting tired of all the same old stuff. So this is a good time for her. So I'm glad that Lisa's, you know, being very productive.
Yeah. No,
now we do have a couple of callers already, and I want us to go down to the 516-0194. She's called in before. You'll recognize her as soon as she gets on. And we'll take her first, and then you could screen some people, okay? Anybody that you might want to screen will be fine.
Awesome. And you said 0194?
Yes.
All right. Hello, 0194. You are on the air.
Hi, ladies. It's Eleanor. How are you?
Good. Okay, Eleanor. I told you you would know who this is as soon as she got on. So, Eleanor, what's
How
been
are you?
Happening? We're good. Everybody's good. Everybody's healthy. And I'm hoping you're staying healthy,
thank
too.
God.
Everybody's healthy on your end?
We're all dodging bullets. And, you know, everybody is ascending warp speed here now. It's crazy times.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy
oh, yeah.
Times.
For sure. And so you Had messaged me earlier today, and last night, actually, early morning, whatever you want to say. So why don't you tell us what was on your mind and what you told me so that our listeners can have a pretty good idea of what you're dealing with right now.
Well, I've been involved with, I guess, what I call a toxic soulmate for the last almost 5 years. And I completely cut him out. I blocked him the day before my mom's birthday in heaven almost 2 weeks ago. And I tried my hand at dating somebody who I thought might work out. It didn't work out. Not only is it horrible dating in general now with the online nonsense, but dating under the mask, you know, during COVID times makes it 100 times worse.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm just wondering what you're seeing for me with everything going on.
Okay. Now, Nicole, I don't know if she's screening or listening, but you said the buzzword, you know, almost 5 years. So you've listened to the show many times, and you know relationships work in five-year cycles. So I'm not surprised that you finally kind of blocked him, pushed him out, and figured maybe I need to move on from that toxic relationship. So the timing in terms of your relationship with him is right on target. Yes, you're online dating, and it's difficult. You know, some of the good news is that, you know, from what my clients are telling me, there are people now online dating that have never done it before, some nice men, nice women, because there's hardly any other way to meet. Some people have had some really good success with the Facebook dating app. Have you tried that one at all?
I really haven't had much luck there, yeah.
Okay, well, keep doing that, because at least you get to see someone's profile and there's a little more information and people are a little more open who might be on there. I'm not saying there's not the scam artists, because there's a scam artist everywhere. But you're going to be with a soulmate, but the universe also wants you to have a little time. Like, why don't you look at it as maybe you're supposed to take a little break from love for a little while and from relationships. Mourn for the loss of your last one. You need to mourn for the loss of the soulmate, because you said toxic soulmate, but you did say soulmate. So the ending of a soulmate relationship feels like a death. I'm sure you're feeling it. Are you feeling the mourning process going on?
Oh, yes, trouble. It comes in waves, and I have to stop myself because it's almost like a peptide addiction where I have to say, no, don't contact him. You know, I have my weak moments. And I just have to
ride it
out.
It is an addiction. It becomes an addiction when love goes down to toxic. We've discussed that before. For our new listeners, you know, when love goes on from good to bad and you go back and forth, it has all the traits of an addiction. It's not good for you. Go back for more. You kick yourself in the head. You're mad at yourself afterwards. This is kind of normal, but the only way to break that toxic cycle is to really, really 3 months of cold turkey. If you just give in on a moment of weakness after 6 weeks, well, you're going to be back to like you just shot heroin and now you got to go to rehab again. So, you know, trying to stay strong for 3 months. And again, you know, part of it is we have to learn, you know, you've closed a door. You didn't cement it shut. You didn't do, you know, it's not impossible to reopen it in the future if you wanted to. It is a closed door. Sometimes it's just like people think, well, it's so final, it's so this. Why don't you just take it one day at a time? Let's get to the 3 month mark and see if we can break the addiction part of it. Okay. And once the addiction part is broken, you may not crave him anymore. If it's meant to be, if a relationship can be fixed, well, at that 3 month mark, because you've taken 2 feet out, perhaps there's an opportunity to fix it. In the case with your guy, because you've been calling in for 5 years over him, so you've had private readings, so I'm pretty aware of what we're dealing with here. He has those traits of an unfixable, which is a manipulative person, judgmental, not accountable. The prognosis of him changing for the better is very poor, so it's very hard to bring this back up to soulmate since I can't fix him. We can't fix him. You know, he could maybe work on himself, but I'm not so sure he's going to do that. It looks to me like he's probably going to contact you. And how are you going to handle that? You said you blocked him, right?
I blocked him from calling the house, my phone, texting, everything. I did leave email open, just think, you know, whatever. But I had more control over that. I didn't respond to him, but he wrote me an email, a lengthy email, that what he would do to change. And to me, it was just words, you know. So they really didn't.
And again, remember,
have much
we've
power.
Already determined this man has, you know, not very fixable traits, and so. I'm
mm-hmm.
sure right now he means everything he's saying. I'll even give him that benefit of the doubt. But he's too old to change at this point without major therapy, major, I don't know, aha moments. And I don't know how he's going to get it, those things. And so, you know, look at it as he means well. He's telling you what you want to hear. He's telling you what he wants to believe. But, you know, you're at the five-year mark of this relationship. And you remember we were talking like last year, you know, 4 into 5. I said, well, a lot will be determined in the next year. But once we hit the five-year mark and we kind of know, you know, you've been back and forth for a long time, if you keep going back and forth with him, that's when God gets in here and starts fixing stuff. And it gets a lot more painful. So it's kind of like, let's just... why don't we just commit to 3 months of no talking or communication? Let's just commit to that now. It doesn't mean
right.
this ship can't be turned around. It doesn't mean anything. It just means you have to give it that 3 months to see if you can how you feel at the end of it. And my clients that do this, 90% of the time, they don't go back in the toxic relationship because they've broken the cycle. Okay, but if they, you know, at the 2.5 month mark, if they start talking to the person again, then we got to start all over again. So it's that goes on for years. And, you know, there is a little bit sorrow, and, you know, I'm calling it the Corona blues. Everybody has that. It's like,
oh, that's a good
you know,
one.
It's not, it's hard to meet people right now. It's, you know, it seems almost impossible. But I still have clients meeting people, you know, sometimes it's work, sometimes someone introduces them. Sometimes it's someone who, you know, brings something to their house, a delivery person. People have met in some very unusual ways right now. But what it looks to me is COVID is God's way of telling you, I need you to stop with a relationship right now. I need you to stand on your own 2 feet a little bit without a man and find out who you are and what you want and be happy with yourself. And, you know, let the universe guide you someone again. And it will happen. There's love showing in your cards. You're not the person destined to be alone. You have a lot of love to give. Do you have friends that you talk to now during this or people to help you distract a bit?
Sure.
You know,
sure. I mean, I did
strong.
Go on. I did go out with this one guy about 5 times, and then I just felt like I didn't have that deep connection, so I ended it. So I don't know. I think I did the right thing, although, you know, I do doubt myself sometimes.
Well, again, you know, you gave it a good chance. 5 times is a good chance. And, you know, normally soulmates have a very strong connection almost the moment they meet. And you gave it, you know, 5 times chance. Okay, you gave it. And he looked like he was a nice enough person, but he wasn't probably the right person for you. And, you know, it's nice just to get out there a little bit. Sometimes if you want to do the dating thing, trust your gut a lot. Don't waste your time with people you know who are very unfixable. You know, pay attention to those traits. I need you also to write down red flags when you meet somebody because we've been brainwashed to ignore the red flags. So if you write them down, like, oh, God, he said this yesterday and then this today. It's not, you know, it's a contradiction. You know, write down the things. Pay attention if he sounds very judgmental, like it's never his fault, it's everybody else's fault. You know, pay attention to things, you know, if he's 60 years old and has nothing to show for his life. You know, maybe there's a reason. Don't make excuses. And, you know, test your judgment during this, but trust it. You know, you're meant to be with a soulmate. You know, if you stay longer with him, you keep going back and forth, you're going to alter that. Like if you stay 8 years, well, the soulmate you were probably supposed to meet would have been like at the 6-year mark. But now you've stayed 8 years with him. So now the universe has to ready another soulmate for you. That could take 5 years. Soulmates are, you know, we have several of them. We might have 20 of them, but to get them in alignment isn't that easy. It's a conspiracy of heaven and earth.
I don't think he's going to change. I don't think he's going to change his, his ways or his lifestyle anyway.
He's not going to. I don't see any change here. So if you go back and forth with him because you're scared, because, you know, you go back out of fear I'm going to be alone, fear there's nobody else, blah, 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 you're going to really influence what the future would be for you. So I would say stand strong on this. You know, I know when you make up your mind, you know, your mom's saying from the other side, when you make up your mind, clearly you're usually pretty strong on it. And it looks to me like your mind's been made up. But again, right now, it's, the world looks a little dismal. Like, you know, what's the future? How long are we going to be in this, you know, sort of semi-lockup state? It's a little depressing. But my clients have been finding love. And, you know, keep looking. If you want to look online, that's fine. But go with a discerning eye, you know. And, you know, there are some people on there that have never been on. That's a good thing. You know, they really are not professional, you know, dating appers. You know, the professionals, they're on there for 10 years already. They don't want a relationship. So, you know, it looks good. Focus a little bit on your children. Are you doing that right now, too? Because they look like they can use you.
Yeah, well, that's the other problem. And, yeah, they need a lot of elbow grease this summer.
Right.
That's
and
the
so,
other thing. I really have to focus on them.
Yeah, focus on them. But nothing is bad in your cards. The love is going to be brought. And again, you need to maybe take some time to write down what your ideal soulmate would be like. And when you write that down, you're going to see how much your ex doesn't match what you want. He doesn't have those traits, and he's never going to have them. And, you know, you want to be with someone who's happy and successful because, you know, you just deserve that. So write it down, and you don't want to be mommy anymore. Okay, you don't.
Right.
A lot of what you've been with is mommy to a boy with him. And that's part of why it's hard for you to break away. When you turn a person into a child, you know, from mommy to them, we would never abandon our children, and it becomes really hard to walk away. So, you know, you might be mourning for that too, you know, and just know that he's not going to change. That's what's showing up here a million times over, and that the decision is right. You have a very good five-year period opening up called the Wheel of Fortune, which means pretty much anything you want is yours. And, you know, moving in the right direction. Of course, if you keep going back and forth with him, you know, at this 5 to 6 years, you're opening up another cycle with a person. I don't want to see you within 10 years. Okay, like, it's just close it. It's almost like clockwork, that 5-year mark. It's like suddenly, and it's not just coming from you, it's coming from your spirit guides, giving you a lot more courage to just put this an end to this. So know that it was meant, it's meant to happen, you know, and, you know, keep us posted. Call in again, especially during this, because sometimes, you know, it looks to me like he may pull some crap, like email you that, I don't know, he's sick, well, something's happened, and you're going to feel like you're going to be roped back into the drama of him. So don't get roped into drama with him. You know, whatever you do, because you're going to live to regret that again. And
he's very manipulative.
I mean, this isn't the first time you've broken up with him. You've broken up with him several times. And it seems to me you've been, you know, thinking about leaving him for quite some time. You know, it's not you. And when we feel like, I don't know if I should stay or go for more than a year, it's time to go. You know, it's just time to go. And there probably isn't a person listening to our show that hasn't been in a relationship too long. You know, most of the mistakes is we don't move on fast enough. And old souls, like the devil, they know we tend to stay too long in bad jobs, bad relationships, and we don't move forward fast enough. So
the communication
it just looks
was always
like
there.
If you stay with him, it's only going to get worse. And you know, he looks like he has some declining health issues, and I don't want you to be stuck taking care of him either. Because
really, is it really bad? Is he going to be gone from this earth? Because I feel like something's going to happen.
And it very well could, and your staying with him isn't going to change that. Okay, like if he were to die tomorrow, I don't want you to feel like, oh, maybe I did this, I should have. You know, he's got health issues that have nothing to do with you. And
right.
And normally, when a relationship is this toxic, the contract between two people, and you've been with him in other lifetimes, is if you almost don't end this at this point, maybe God will yank him up out of here just to end this cycle. So it looks more the prognosis is better if you walk away from him, his health, than if you stay. So
wow.
Keep that in mind, you know, because if we can't break away, sometimes God will make it happen. And that's why I say sometimes when God gets here and breaks up relationships, it's a lot more painful. So
I'm sure.
So I'm so glad you called in, and I'm so glad you messaged me last night. And you know, anyone who wants to get through, the best thing is to email me or message me on Facebook, and
yeah.
That way I make sure I put you through.
No, I appreciate the time you gave me. As always, you know, you've always given me so much clarity.
Oh, and you know that's what we're here for. And you're always helping everyone. You're a helper and a healer yourself. So, you know, sometimes it's got to be given back to someone. So, you know, keep us posted and call in again.
I appreciate it. Stay well.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Now, Nicole,
thank you.
I'm just going to pick up TJ for a minute because I can see he wants to talk. Hello, TJ. You're live and on the air. Hello, TJ. Are you coming? Getting through?
TJ is not going to talk to you because TJ puts the show on and then he forgets to say things.
Come on, can you hear me? No,
oh yes,
there
you are,
TJ.
Okay. Well,
yes, I think
that.
It wasn't going through.
Well, what happened was that, which I'm all excited about, is that I've been trying to do this for years, but I finally figured out how to put your show on the Bose speaker while I'm sailing in the boat, so I can hear it really loud because you can't hear it off of the you can't hold a phone in your head. But to talk, I have to put the phone because there's. But anyway, I'm listening to the show. It sounds wonderful. Hello, Nicole, and I'll let you all go.
Hello,
but
darling.
I'm so excited that I can listen to the show like really loudly off of a Bose speaker while I'm sailing. I just wondered how far it's carrying for the other sailboats, you know? Because it's probably
okay.
out there.
All right.
For this
all right. Well, they
coast.
May need the advice. They may need what
okay.
we're saying. So
yes,
don't.
They may need. They may be fixable sailors. Anything
well, it's
I
like
am, I'll see you later tonight. And Nicole, one of these days, we're all going to go aboard skiing or something.
Hell yes, COVID. My wife has been hounding me.
Yeah.
Good.
I think the only time I met you guys was at your. Well, I mean, you went to my wedding and I went to your wedding, and I don't know how many
I know.
Times there were. All right, look,
it was literally just maybe events for
Cindy,
and that was it.
Night.
Well,
right,
we're not getting well, we're not getting married and you know divorced and married again just to have you come again, okay?
Yeah,
no. All right,
that's
anyway, I'll let you know. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Bye for now.
Bye, Susan.
Now,
so funny.
Speaking of people getting a message at the right time, I got a client from Ireland, and it was funny because she had been listening to YouTube videos when she fell asleep. So, you know how many YouTube videos must come on when you sleep for 8 hours, right? So she
yep.
wakes up to this whole thing about soulmates, one of my podcasts that I did, you know, years ago. And, you know, it's all about soulmate love. And she had just broken up with her soulmate. And at first she thinks she's dreaming, like it's like angels talking to me, giving me like information that
cute.
I need to hear. And she listened to the whole show and then she contacted me to get a reading and she was just delightful. But isn't that funny that she woke up to me on YouTube? And oh, and speaking of dreaming, I just remembered a dream I had last night, Nicole. This is like weird. I had this dream that I was walking down the block and all these like people or strange beings were trying to attack me. These are the COVID dreams, right? You know, something's going to try to
yeah.
attack you. And it was going on forever. And I forced myself to wake up. So relieved I woke up. And then my subconscious mind hadn't finished the dream. And instead of being in a dream state and seeing these weird beings, I was awake and seeing them. Okay. And they
Ooh.
Wouldn't go away for 5 minutes. Okay. And I was like,
wow.
wait, but I'm awake now, but I'm awake. This is not a dream. I thought it would end. I'm awake. And I've never had
yeah,
the experience of my subconscious mind obviously was still sleeping and the dreams, but instead of being like, you know, things are usually in my dreams black and white, and they were black and white kind of, you know, beings. but they were huge. And they were hovering over TJ and me, and I was like, this is even worse than the dream, you know?
Wow.
And
yeah,
I kept closing
that's
my eyes
scary.
Thinking it would go away. And so I was like, I've never had the experience of actually, I guess I forced myself to wake up, but my mind hadn't woke, you know, hadn't broken from the dream. So it was,
wow.
It was like 3D dreaming, in other words.
That's terrible. Well, you know that when you dream of demons and things like that, that's like inner conflict. That's like supposed
well,
to be like
no,
inner conflict. You must
no,
have fallen asleep
I think it really
about,
has to do with COVID. I think it has to do
oh,
with
yeah,
COVID.
Fear.
That we're afraid that something's going to come attack us and get us. You know,
it could be.
And that
it
in
could
the,
definitely be.
And in the wake, and in my waking day, I refuse to give in to that. You know, I go about my
yeah.
day, I do what I have to do, and I don't think about it. But it shows that it's in the back of our mind. It's in our subconscious mind all the time. So I'd
yep.
never want to see a 3D dream again.
Yeah, no. Absolutely not. That sounds really, really scary.
It was. So now we have,
we have Amanda now.
Amanda Fest.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
And you want to know what? She thought it was hysterical because I said, oh, my God, we were talking about you last week. And she's like, are you kidding me? But anyways, she's got a guy update. Now, remember a couple of weeks ago, Amanda Fest called up and she kissed the guy, the flight instructor. And, then he didn't call the next day. And we had all these lovely scenarios about him being basically a jerk. Well, at the end of that call, if you don't recall, Cindy, I said,
I
you know
do
what?
Recall
here
it very
projecting.
Well.
I said, here we are projecting, and this guy probably is not even thinking that way, and he's probably, just thinking that everything is okay, and he's just going to see her, and everything is going to be fine, and he's going to be sweet. Well, guess who was right? Me. And I'm going to let Amanda tell you the rest.
Well,
and hello,
of course,
Amanda, you are on the air.
Hi. And of course, because he's a commitment phobic, that's what they do. They disappear and act like nothing happened, and then they start all over again. So I want
yes,
Amanda to be
it.
Aware that this is a pattern with people afraid of commitment. They run away, and they come back, and they wine and dine us all over again, and then they run again. So I think you have to be aware of his potential to run.
Yeah.
And to not take it personally, if he does it, he's not rejecting beautiful Amanda. He's rejecting the higher love you're offering. Because the
yeah.
card showing up is that he has an ability to walk away again. And
yeah.
that will be when what commitment phobics do is when they get us close and we're really close, and we have a really close moment, and maybe you'll make love to him. It'll be really great. It'll be close. And then he'll run. Like they tend
yeah.
to run. So if I were you, you can't like just all of a sudden just be yourself who's so warm and loving and welcoming and everything to him, because then he'll run. You almost have to be the one a little bit keeping the guard up.
Yeah.
So that, and I know that's not going to be easy for you.
No.
And this guy, and I will give Nicole this. Nicole is right on this one. This guy has a potential to be there for you in the long run, but it could be a lot of game playing in between. So it's almost like, have you had the talk that, maybe talk it out about it. Like, I know you're scared and you have your dad issues and your dad's sick and blah, 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 but you can't come and go. Like, that's not
right.
me. Like, just talk about it. It's not an elephant in the room we don't talk about. It's like,
right.
look, you came close and then you ran. So I'm letting you in again. People don't get that many second chances.
Right.
Okay, so let him know this is a second chance. Because
right.
it's not like you just, what they want to do is commitment phobics is for you never to talk about what happened. And they're back and everything's fine, like nothing happened. But
right.
that can't be. And it's kind of people's nature to do that because we're nice and we don't want to call people on stuff. So how do you feel, Amanda, about it? Tell us how you feel.
And I was telling Cole because, obviously, I told you a little bit about what happened. So he invited me over Saturday night. And, we were just we were just hanging out. And then, you know, we were on the couch.
You're kind of breaking in and out. Are you, like, not in a good connection because you're kind of breaking in and out?
Maybe. Let me see. Hold on. Let me try. Who's this? Better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. So, you know, so we were on the couch and, you know, we were cuddling and we were kissing. And then I just kind of blurted out, like, to his face. I was like, dude, what are you looking for? Like, I literally just blurted it out. Yeah. It was just kind of like that do or die sort of thing. Just say it. And then he literally didn't even think. He just kind of like right away, he's like, I'm looking for something serious. And he didn't say it once, but he said it twice. Now, ever since I had that, you know, that sort of conversation with him, I mean, I guess, and Nicole said it, you know, I probably caught him, like, very off guard with that. And, I mean, ever since then, it's, I mean, you know, I'm seeing him all the time. You know, we're having, like, you know, we're doing normal kind of things. Like, we go shopping and, like, you know, we had a little ice cream date yesterday. He actually just hopped on a work trip. But I'm picking him up from the airport on Sunday, and then, you know, and then we have a date for, like, next weekend.
It all sounds good. And remember, around the 2-month mark, you got to say, what am I to you? And I'm going to be really insistent on this in 2020 that people have to have labels. Okay.
Yeah.
At 2 months to 3 months, am I your girlfriend?
Yeah.
And if someone wants a serious relationship, if they can't say girlfriend, boyfriend, or whatever, you know, they have issues. Okay.
Yeah.
People say, well, we don't want to give labels, blah, blah, blah. And that goes on for years. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, yes, date, you know, you've known him a while. That's why I'm giving 2 months, because it's really more like 4 months, you know, into when you guys first started. That, you know, if you're looking for a serious relationship, then am I your girlfriend? And, you know, and have the exclusive talk at that point. I would be careful about sleeping with him without commitment. Because,
oh, no, that's not happening. I already said that to myself. I said that, you know, I'm waiting as long as possible to do that.
Good. Because, you know, you want that commitment from him. And, you know, this is not what I would have said probably 10 years ago to people. But really, if you want a committed relationship, then you're going to have to start it as committed and, you know, get that commitment before you sleep with them. Because otherwise, I'm just finding the booty calls are not becoming girlfriends. They're just not. And,
they're not.
You know,
I don't think they ever were.
I think in maybe some other generations, but not this one. So,
no.
You know, keep going on like you're doing. Be your wonderful self, but a little bit guard up, because if you just totally let him know how crazy you are about him and he knows he's got you, he's going to turn around and bolt out the door. So, you know, he has to, like, kind of earn your trust.
Yes.
And that's important. But, you know, it looks good here. He's just terrified because he has such strong feelings for you. And, you know, he maybe he's not used to this, but, you know, the fear of love is so astronomical in the world right now that each one of us has to work at having people stop with that fear being greater than the love all the time. And, you know, and the way you handled it, you listened to guidance, you know, not, you didn't chase him. You asked him what he wanted and, you know, when he kind of ran away. And so he came back. You know, he came back. You didn't let him just be your friend. Remember, he started out, kissed you, and then all of a sudden he pulled away and was being, like, just a friend. You kind of let him know that wasn't acceptable. So
I did.
He's come back now like a dating kind of guy. So keep that up, okay?
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Did you notice how by taking the 2 feet out and not letting him just water it down and let's just take this slow forever, like you kind of – you scared him a bit that he's going to lose you.
Yeah,
so you did very well. I'm so proud of you. And also, Amanda, is like this amazing farmer lady who just throws these vegetables that are 1,000 feet tall, and she's amazing. And you know, just keep following the advice that we're giving you. Go forward with this. Enjoy him. If you find him pulling away after a week, you know, you got close, now he's pulling away, call him on it again.
Yeah,
you know, we can't pretend this stuff isn't happening. That's the mistake. And I think Nicole will probably, she's known me 12 years now. It's the mistake I made too long with my clients is not having them call people on this behavior.
Like, right.
Let's not pretend they're not pulling away. As soon as they start pulling away, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
And maybe if they're going to run, if they're that big commitment folks, let them run. But otherwise, you're calling them on behavior.
Right.
And that's what people need to do. And, you know, call in again and let us know how it goes. I mean, it looks fine. I just see there's a card that he can run away again. So so with that in mind, you know, just
keep your guard up.
Just a little bit, you know, just a little bit. Because as soon as you surrender, he's going to run. Totally.
Yeah.
You know, unless he feels more comfortable for a while. So, again, call in again. I'm glad you called in today. You know, and it sounds good. I like that you're actually making – I love the way he made a plan for next week because it shows he's overcoming some commitment phobia because –
Right.
Commitment
he made sure. He made sure of it, too, because, I mean, like, at this point, so I actually – I mean, I'm still – he's still my instructor, but I'm also – I also have, you know, a substitute instructor just in case, he can't. He was really cute. Yes, he was being really cute yesterday. I was with the other instructor, and he's like, oh, you know, let me know when you win, and, you know, make sure, you know, you don't have anything, you know, make sure you have nothing going on the 18th. You're going to go to, like, a fly-in barbecue upstate or some shit, like, you know, So, yeah, it's just, like, he's literally being, like, you know, oh, make sure you're not doing anything this day. You know, so it's just, like, it's weird. It is weird for me because, obviously, I'm not used to having the talk or the, you know, or calling, you know, the commitment out on their shit. And then, you know, it seems like he came back around, and then I called him out on it, and I don't know. So this is uncharted waters for me.
Okay, and again, you're doing good with this, and, you know, just continue to do what you're doing. And, again, he made plans for the future because true commitment phobics, we never know if or when we're going to see them again. So he's made some progress here. Okay, he's made some progress.
And like I told Amanda in the chat room,
I've never encountered a commitment phobe before that actually, like, you know, kind of sort of took a step forward. You know what I'm saying? Like, how many of them did I freaking go through in the past 10 years that I've known you, Cindy? That, you know, I walk away and then it's just like, see you later. Like, they just kind of, you know, they just disintegrate and thin air, and that's it. Like, this is like, wow, he actually took a step forward. Okay. Like,
good. And Nicole, what were you saying? Because Nicole's an expert on this stuff.
Yeah, no. Oh, yeah, no. Well, yeah, exactly. Who are you talking to? I was queen of them, folks.
I thought of her the whole time.
Yeah. That's awesome. But no, I mean, what I was saying, you know, in the chat room to Amanda is that I think that this is great, you know, because I think that what wound up happening inadvertently by her timing, because don't forget when we were like, oh, you know, maybe you should call him and maybe you should do this and, you know, find out what the deal is. And you know what? She waited it out and she didn't, you know, she didn't go in aggressive, but he was at a vulnerable position and she sprung the question on him. And I think that by her having that element of surprise, because nobody expects that question to come out of their mouth, I think that because of the element of surprise, he was actually probably more honest than he would have been had that question have been asked and he'd be given the opportunity to think about it, you know? So I think that portion of it is definitely great. Like Cindy said, you know, I mean, if there are signs of him being a commitment phobe, obviously you need to protect your heart, you know?
Right.
You don't want Amanda's heart broken because Amanda's wonderful,
no.
And, we don't want that. You know, so definitely protect your heart, but at the same time, you know, it's all about pushing him past his comfort zone without pushing him too far, you know, because, and like, I was a commitment phobe for years. My wife was a commitment phobe when I met her, and I was a little bit more healed than she was. And you know what? I gave her her time, you know? And I said,
right.
I said, we don't have to label it, and we're going to have an end date to this lack of label. And at, and on that end date, if there's not a decision made, then, you know, we're going our separate ways. And that's the end of it.
Right.
And you know what?
Right.
Literally to the day, I said, okay, are we shitting or are we getting off the pot? You know, that's
yep.
the exact words that came out of my mouth. And she's like, nope. She's like, I'm in. And you know what? And it was wonderful after that, you know? So, I mean, it can happen. It does require a little bit of patience because people's issues are genuine. And as long as they're
right.
making strides and they're not doing this little salsa of two steps forward, two steps back with you, and they're making strides and they're going in the right direction, then he deserves the benefit of the doubt. But if he
right.
starts doing that little dance, then that's when you stomp on that foot and you go,
Right.
Either we're staying
right.
here
exactly.
now, but we're not going back there.
Right.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Well, call in again and let us know what happens. Yes. We're going to try to get another caller in here today.
Yeah, of course.
Goodbye. Exactly.
Hey, good luck to you. Thanks for sharing your
okay.
story with us.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye.
Bye.
Aw. She's so sweet.
She's so cute. She's so
I
cute.
Love her. She's so
I
adorable.
Know, and I'm so glad that, you know, she took her 2 feet out for a bit because it really did make a difference.
Yeah.
You know, it really did make
yeah,
a difference.
You know, and I'm glad that she didn't, you know what, too often people want to dance around the hard question. I'm just happy that she didn't dance around the hard question. You know what? She said, screw the elephant in the room. Elephant's got to leave. What's up? You know, and I think that that's wonderful that she was able to call him out on that. And I think it's even more wonderful that because she was so forward, I think that she got a more honest answer than if he had time to sit there and think and ponder it for a while. And, you know, because as soon as you overthink, forget it, you're done.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know.
For sure.
But, yeah, so next, Cindy, we do have Suzanne. We've got about 13 minutes left, and Suzanne really needs to speak to you. Okay, now she's spoken to you before. You have been to her house, but, you know, she's not a regular, one of our regular callers. Basically, she's
okay.
having a very, very difficult time right now. She lost her brother in August. She lost her dog, and then she lost her mother in October. So she's had a lot of loss in a very, very short period of time. But right now, she's still living in the house that her and her mom and her dog used to live in, and she's getting signs. And signs, and more signs, Cindy. Her mother is trying to tell her something, and she has no idea what the hell it is. So hopefully, you can help her out with that. Hello, Suzanne. You are
yes.
on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Suzanne. Okay, so I'm so sorry for all your loss. That's a lot. That's a lot to get in, and losing a mom is terrible, but losing a sibling is like a really difficult death for people, and I think it's one that people don't talk about enough. You know, we talk, and so I'm sure that you've taken that very hard too. And you know, give us an example of the signs that you're getting in your house.
Things appear that weren't there.
that's hard to do.
Yes.
I'm just laughing because that has to be your mother and your brother doing that because that takes a lot of.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I can't believe these things that are going on. Like I'll go to bed and I have a routine, and then right before I lay in bed after I go to bed, I look on the nightstand and there's a ribbon there. That wasn't there just before I put the phones down. There's all different things. Like, things are happening in my house, and I know it's my mother. And I just want to know what she wants to say to me.
Well, I'm laughing because you said the ribbon, and Debbie Tony's listening, and her dad passed away not too long ago, and she found a ribbon, too.
She found a ribbon. Was it pink?
I think hers was, I'm not sure, but I think maybe hers was blue, but the point is.
That was just one thing. There's so many things that it would take the 13 minutes to tell you, but it's been going on since the day she died.
Right,
very
and of course,
she
just wants she to,
a,
when they leave a ribbon, that's almost like something so sweet to let you know, like how proud they are of you. So a ribbon is always a nice thing. It's not that hard to get a ribbon because it's kind of light. Okay, so moving a ribbon around might only be just your mom. Okay, but something like moving something more significant than that usually takes two people. She's just trying to prove death ends a life, not a relationship. She's actually a very peaceful soul on the other side. So she's not coming there in any way, you know, anxious there. She's actually having fun. When you find something that's been moved, it lets you know she was actually in the house. That means she's been down in the house visiting. They're allowed down on Earth about 100 hours a month. And, of course, she would want to visit the house where she lived. It just makes her happy. She likes to watch television, your mom. So when you're watching television, you might be aware that she's around. Do you ever sense or feel her when you're watching television?
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
We're having trouble hearing you for some reason. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, a little bit better, yeah.
Hello?
Yep, okay, yeah. So do you sense her near the television? Because she seems to love television, your mom.
Sure, yeah. I watch TV. She can be here. And we sat together, watched TV hours and hours while she was
right,
alive.
Right, so she'll just keep you busy that way. You know, she's made peace with being on the other side. So it's nothing like, you know, an agitated message to you or anything like that. She's just having some fun with you. And do the messages that you find or the signs that you find, do they make you smile?
Oh, absolutely. I'm not afraid at all.
Good.
I just
Nor should
that
you
she's
be.
Trying to tell me something.
No, she's just trying to tell you she's around, that she's still there, that she can come visit the house, which makes her happy. She's also very proud of you. And she wants to thank you for some of the things you did at the end for her, okay? And that, you know, she was very happy. Do you miss your brother a lot?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, because sometimes they come down together, and that's when there's probably a little more energy in the house. You know, two beings in a house is a lot of energy. And your mom, you know, she gave me a soulmate card. Do you not have a soulmate right now?
No, I don't.
Because next to the mother card came the soulmate card. She's also letting you know she's bringing you a soulmate. Okay, so that seems to be like she clapped her hands on that. So she would rest a lot more in peace if you had a good soulmate by your side. Are you ready to have love?
No.
Okay.
No.
So,
no.
Is she, and is there a reason you're not ready?
Yeah, everything is very up in the air right now in my life. As far as staying in the house, moving, I retired from my job right after my mom died. They offered a package, so I left. I just retired recently in January. Everything is all up in the air. I'm not really looking for a soulmate.
Okay, well, she's going to bring one anyway. So,
well, she brings a good one.
Good. Yeah, she'll bring a very good one to you. And, you know, with the house, she also wants you to know that no matter where you go, she'll be there. Like, if you sell the house, she will still go where you go. She's okay if you sell it. I think she was attached to it, but she's letting go of that. And where would you want to go? Do you have any plans?
No, I have absolutely no plan at all. I have a sister that lives in Florida. I was thinking maybe going there. But that was it.
Right.
It was just a thought. I haven't decided yet. I can't think of anything yet because I'm too distraught.
Of course.
I can't think of moving forward just yet.
No, and I would say you can't. You know, for a full year after people die, we have to mourn. And to make major life changes,
which I did. I did right away after she died. They offered a package and I took it at my job. That was.
But I
would
tell you,
changing.
That wasn't a wrong thing to do. Okay.
No, it wasn't. It turned out to be the right thing. I mean, but it was like she died in October. I was out of work for a while and then I retired. They called me back and said, "We're offering a package. You should come back and take it." Because I'd worked there for 33 years.
Right. And, it was time for change. So
yeah.
What's happened is you've had a lot of change at once.
Absolutely.
And do you ever want to go back to work? Because there is a card showing, like, something part-time you know, in the future. Because it does show a little bit of work, though, you know.
Yeah, maybe, but maybe sometime in the future, far away.
But
future,
fun,
but, not,
but fun, but
yeah.
fun, your mom said. Something that you're going to want to do. Okay, it's not going to feel like work. And the wonderful part about this particular job that's showing up is it might be offered to you from a friend or, you know, someone who has a business that you know that it's, you know, it's going to feel like fun to do it. It's not, and it's a good money. And it also, at that point, might bring you in alignment with your soulmate. Okay, so kind of right now your mom says just don't make any major moves. She'll guide you where you belong. Do you like Florida? Do you like the weather and all of that there?
Yeah, I visited my sister there. Sure. I mean, I've always lived on Long Island. I've always lived in this house.
Right. No, see, that's another thing, to leave a house that you grew up in and you always lived in. It's difficult. It's difficult.
Yes, there is.
I mean, according to your mom, you should probably be able to afford it if you wanted to.
Yeah, I can.
I'm not saying that you have to move. There's no you have to move here. So, again, with moving and all of that, it's almost like, you know, COVID is a time of pause. We can't even make big decisions on stuff even if we wanted to, you know.
Yeah.
And so just let the next 6 months to a year play itself out. Just do what you've been doing. Mourn for your mom. Don't feel, you know, don't try to stop the mourning process. And mourn for your brother. Do you ever listen to music?
Sometimes. I used to. I made you a tape.
Yes. You made me a tape, right?
Yeah, I remember.
Yep, that's what I was going to say. You made me a tape. I remember that.
Yeah.
I would say, so it is that Suzanne. Okay.
Yes.
Because your brother was telling me, ask her about the music. Okay. He'll also send you signs through music, your brother. Once in a while, play some music. You know, your mom is happy to have him there. She wants you to stay close to your sister. That seems to be a concern to her. She wants you to make sure you always stay close. Like, that's important. And do you talk to her frequently, your sister?
Oh, yes, 10, 15 times a day, sure.
Okay, good. Just stay close with her.
Yes.
Good. Stay close with her. And that made it almost looks like you're going to decide to go to Florida. I don't think I wouldn't make any plans for the next year or so. You'll just feel it. You'll know when it's right. Like, you don't make any decisions now is what she keeps stating. Because you may regret it later on, you know.
Exactly.
And maybe go stay some time with your sister and see if you like it. And
so my mother's with my brother?
Oftentimes, not all the time, because any more than you would be with your sister all the time on Earth. She's with him quite frequently. He's a little apologetic. Do you know what that's about?
Yes.
Okay, because I would say it's more than apologetic. If we weren't on air, I would probably tell you more about it. But,
okay. Well, you know what? I emailed you, too.
Uh-huh.
I emailed you before she answered the phone, before she answered for me. So I emailed you and I asked you if you can call me and then we can make an arrangement.
Oh, okay, because he would rather talk privately, not in front of
you. Absolutely. That's exactly the way
you know,
he is.
and he said to me, let me tell how he worded it. In all due respect, Cindy, I would prefer if I spoke to her one-on-one. So,
absolutely. I can't believe it because that's just exactly how he would talk.
I mean, and he just was so polite about it. He wasn't, you know, so polite is unbelievable. And so I think that would be better if, you know, we spoke one-on-one. And,
okay.
You know, and then he'll tell you more. And I think you asked me, I'm just looking at the email. Yes, I do go to homes right now.
Okay. I wasn't sure because I'm the only one that lives here, and I never got ill. I stayed in the house, and my house has no corona or there's nothing here.
What I just do is you know I insist on that I social distance in the room. People mask into the room, then they can take it off when we're 6 feet away. and stuff like that. So
I wanted to ask you one more thing too. I want to ask my mom or my brother about a picture that was on the refrigerator. And I took a picture of the picture to show my sister. Like, I just said, I'm gonna take this picture. I'm just going to take it and show it and send it to her, like email it, to, like, you know, whatever, text it to her so she can see my mom was smiling in the photo, you know. And when I took the picture and I sent it over to my sister and I looked at it on the phone, there were people behind us in the picture, but it wasn't in the picture on the refrigerator. Like, there was people in the picture on the phone. Like, when I took the picture, they were in the picture.
Wow. And well, you know they're having some fun with you.
I know.
You know,
they're having a lot of fun with you.
They're quite active. And your brother laughs because he has a good sense of humor. He's more likely to be the one playing some of those tricks on you because he's just laughing. But, you know,
so
he finds
it
great.
I knew it was them because it looks like them in the picture, too. One, like, next to my mom in the picture, it was me, my mom, and my dad in the picture together. And next to my mom is, like, one of those shadows. You know, like when they take a picture of the ghost, like, you know, you've seen it, how they there's like a light behind it, but the light's not in the picture. And then there's people behind me in the picture and a person behind my dad.
Wow.
But it's not on the refrigerator. It's only on the phone.
Well, that's the way they mess up our electronics. They have fun. And, you know, they're just laughing because they're just trying to have you. You're supposed to laugh when you see things like that.
No,
I wouldn't be afraid. Well, they would never make you afraid.
Yeah.
But
no,
I'm so glad I got to read you. And, you know, you can call in again and let us know more of your signs. And you know, if you want to speak one-on-one, we could do a private reading either on the phone or here. If you want to book a party, just let me know. Email me again, okay?
Okay, so that's how I get in touch with you, just through the email?
Yeah, that's the fastest way to reach me is email.
Okay, thank you, Cindy, so much. Thanks.
Okay, good luck. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Well, that was an interesting call with her mom, and you know, having that
mean
that I was in her house. You know, that I was in her house. Well, thank you so much, Nicole. And
well,
we had all kinds of different things happening today.
Oh, boy, I know.
Like a million different things. And that was interesting. Well, we're all going to speak again next week. And thank you so much. And have a great week, everybody. Enjoy the rain tomorrow.
what can I tell you?
In New York, it's going to be raining. Bye for now.
Bye, Cindy.